Pretty good deal for the Edmonton Oil Kings. Four games in, four wins, and now they will get some rest before they wait for their second-round opponent in the Western Hockey League playoffs. Voice of the Oil Kings, Corey Graham, called all four games right here on TSN 1260, joins us. CG, I know it was a sweep, but PA definitely gave them a run a little bit, but no surprise, I think, that the Oil Kings come away victorious out of this series. Ultimately, when you look at it, what do you think was the biggest difference between the two teams?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jason. I think you're right. It was a close series despite it being a four-game sweep. But I guess the biggest thing for Edmonton was being able to score that crucial goal, really. You know, there were a couple times when the Raiders were ahead in this series. And, you know, I go back to Game 2 and Game 3 where it looked like, you know, the Raiders were going to be able to steal a victory. But Edmonton was able to rally and got goals from, you know, throughout the lineup. It wasn't just their top six contributing. It was goals from, you know, their third line really chipped in. Defensively, they had a lot of production from the back end as well. So I really think kind of goals and key spots were the biggest things here for the Oil Kings in this series.
Corey, the Oil Kings got a lot of timely goals from maybe unexpected places in this series.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think, you know, you look at Riley Keyser chipping in a couple really big goals in Game 2 and Game 3 and being able to rally back, I think, in Game 2 when it looked like the Raiders were going to be able to hang on there in the third period, and Edgar's Colda scored, and then Keyser scored the game winner. And you know, they did such a good job of finding those goals when they really needed it. And again, like you said, just kind of from different spots throughout their lineup. You know, Dyson Mayo chipping in offensively. Cody Corbett had a big game in Game 4, and just kind of throughout the lineup, they had a lot of production from different spots. Tyler Robertson stepping in for Reed Patrick on the second line had two goals in the four games. So I think it's really nice to see the depth of the Oil Kings come through in this first-round matchup.
Looking ahead to the second round, Corey, you know, I don't know if the Oil Kings, I don't think, are concerned about, you know, whether it's Regina or Medicine Hat or Brandon or whoever, but who do you think would be a better matchup?
Well, I mean, it looks like it's going to be Brandon, considering they're up 3-0 against Regina in that first round, and Brandon finished seventh, so you know, they recede, so they get the Brandon Wheat Kings, which I don't think is a bad matchup at all outside the long travel. And of course, both clubs will have to go through that, but I think it's a good matchup for the Oil Kings. Obviously, Brandon can score a lot of goals, but their goaltending kind of been a bit of an issue all year, including this first-round matchup with the Regina Pats. I mean, there's goals being scored left and right in that series, and I think, you know, that kind of plays well into the Oil Kings' hands that if they can match up against a team that has trouble keeping the puck out of the net, you know, I think that's a great matchup for the Kings, obviously. And, you know, defensively, they can lock it down better than a team like Regina. So, you know, if it is the Brandon Wheat Kings, I think that's pretty favorable here for Edmonton.
You surprised Brandon's up 3-0?
I guess I'm surprised they're up 3-0. You know, I picked them to win that series just based upon some of the injuries Regina had coming in. And, you know, Regina got their starting goaltender back last night in Game 3 in Daniel Waffle, but dug a hole, obviously, at home. And, you know, Brandon's found a way. That game is funny because I watched the first period with Randy Hanch up in the booth and just watching the goals go back and forth and the lead changes and, you know, kind of Regina got ahead big time. Brandon rallied back and then, you know, Brandon gets a late goal in the third period as well to win it. So I'm not totally surprised, but I guess to say they're up 3-0 is a bit of a shock, sure.
Moving ahead, Corey, for the Oil Kings, they kind of came out this series pretty much unscathed, no injuries of note at all. Are you expecting Petrick back for sure in the next series?
Yeah, I would think so. He took the pregame skate in Game 4 last night, and I think probably had they not been up 3-0, Jason, I think Reed Petrick probably would have played. But,
okay.
I mean, realistically, they lose that game. They don't play again until Saturday, so we'll get some extra, you know, 2.5 days off, and then obviously if they win, they get basically a week off here. So I think it was a smart decision just to kind of go with what's been working. And I mean, Robertson's been playing in Petrick's spot, and he scored the first goal a minute and a half in. So I guess it worked out quite well for Edmonton. So, you know, I would think you'll see Petrick back. The other two guys that are pretty banged up are Brandon Baddock and Blake Orban. I think they're both kind of longer-term injuries here, although I think Baddock might be getting close. I don't know if you'd say he's a second-round guy or a little bit later. And then, to be honest, I'm not sure where Orban's at right yet.
I was going to ask you about Baddock. So the latest news you've got is we probably don't see him in the second round?
Well, he was listed at, 3 to 5 weeks, I think, for the last update of the season. That's been a week ago, so he's probably 2 to 3 weeks away. I'm just kind of guessing here a little bit. And, you know, they keep that stuff kind of locked down this time of year. But I know, obviously, he didn't make the trip to Prince Albert, and I think he's been skating here a little bit to try to get his you know, he's kind of skating legs back underneath him, obviously with that upper body injury. And He's been able to skate here a little bit and work out. So I would expect you'll see him at some point. Maybe if this series goes to the latter distance, he might get back in. But if it's a quick series, I would think he probably doesn't play.
Corey Graham, voice of the Oil Kings, joins. Oil Kings win their series 4-0. You mentioned Brandon's up 3-0 over the Pats, so they win that series. They're going to face off. But then the other two series in the West are pretty tight. Calgary and Kootenay are tied at 2, and the Broncos and the Tigers also tied at 2. The winners of those series likely going to face one another. Kootenay Ice, that DeShane-O'Reinhart combination right now, man, they're giving Calgary everything that they can handle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. I know the last time we talked, I wasn't sure if Kootenay could rally after losing to Calgary in overtime there, but they did at home, and give them all the credit in the world. They're going to play here again tonight, and you know what? I think that might be coming down to a bit of a coin flip the way that top line's playing for Kootenay. And you know, they put Wyatt Hoffman in goal now over Mackenzie Skapski. At least last game, they pulled Skapski, and Hoffman played quite well for them. So maybe they found something that works there. And if you're Calgary, you might be. I'd be in a little bit of trouble here right now going into that game 5. Obviously, very pivotal here tonight. And then you mentioned the other one. That other series is two barns that are really hard to win in Medicine Hat and Swift Current. So I kind of got the sense, kind of heading in, it might be the first team to win a road game, might win that series. And I think I'll probably stick with that right now. But that's been a fun series, kind of watch go back and forth as well. Obviously, with the Tigers leading 2-0, and then Swift Current winning both games at home, including a overtime game last night with Jake DeBrus scoring.
Yeah, Louis's son has a little bit better hands than old man does, that's for sure.
yeah, apparently didn't learn from the old man.
When you look at out in the West, and I know that, so far, the weak Kings right now would be the only upset, although if Kootenay or Swift Current wins, then that would be an upset. But in the Western Conference, all the top teams, the Royals, Victoria and Portland and Kelowna, they're all winning their series, Corey. You don't see as many upsets in the first round of the Western Hockey League as you do in the first round of the NHL. Why do you think that is?
I think it's not as tight, obviously. I think, you look at the NHL and everybody's so close and it's such a battle to get in. And you look at the WHL, and I think especially out West where 8 of the 10 teams get in, that, those teams that get in the 7th, 8th spot, they don't really have to be that good. I mean, you only have to beat out 2 other teams. So you could have a team that's pretty sub 500 be able to squeak in, and then if you're matching up against Kelowna in the first round and you're Tri-City, Kelowna's been the best team in the country this year, so it's a pretty tough matchup to be able to come in there and knock off somebody. But I think that kind of goes to a little bit more of the parity that you see in the National League level than you do at this level with teams that in the cyclical nature of this league, when you're rebuilding, you're clearly going to be out of the mix, so you don't have to. You don't have to beat as many good teams, I think, to get into the playoffs on the WHL level. But once you kind of sort of get through the first round where you get down to 4 and you look at some of the matchups that could come out West, especially Victoria, Portland, I think that'll be fantastic. And, Kelowna should have their way, I think, with either Everett or Seattle, whoever comes out of that matchup. But, there are obviously really good teams out there, but then there's some teams that get in just kind of based upon, Kamloops and Prince George gave it a bit of a run this year, but still aren't quite to the level of everybody else. So, with Kamloops entering a rebuild here and then Prince George kind of treading water a little bit, it's not hard to make there could be a playoffs at West for sure.
Corey, any idea when they'll start the second round? Would they, if let's say Brandon wins in game 4, would they start that series earlier than the other series, or do they have to wait till all of them are done in the East?
Normally they wait, but I think just based upon what's going on at Rexall right now with all the concerts, and the Oilers and the Rush have dates in there, that they might look at starting it a little bit earlier to get 2 better games. Okay. They don't want to have to go through the situation they had last week when it was a possible shootout in a playoff game. So, if Brandon takes care of business tomorrow night, I think you might see that series start a little bit earlier just to kind of give it a little bit more leeway to make sure you can get, true playoff games in rather than kind of crossing your fingers and hoping there's no overtime before a lacrosse game or an NHL game.
Yeah, I think they could play next Friday for sure.
Yeah.
Because the Rush play at home on Saturday, and the Oilers are on the road, and I think they're back home on the Sunday, if my memory serves me correct. So likely I'm thinking we'll see a Friday night game for sure at Rexall next week?
I think so. I know there's a couple concerts next week too, and I'm not sure if it's on Friday, but I know there's been a bunch of dates. Like, I think the Oil Kings were booked for game 7 this round on April the 1st, which is, what is that, the Tuesday?
So, yeah.
I mean, heck, it could start as early as Tuesday, considering that's an open night in that barn, and Kings of Leon are in there on Wednesday, and I think there's another concert later next week as well. So I want to say they were talk of playing Saturday before the Rush game even. So, I mean, that obviously wouldn't be ideal, getting the floor down for the Rush. So hopefully it gets – I'm sure they'll figure it out. I know it's been up in the air and it's been a schedule maker's nightmare there right now. But I'm sure if Brandon takes care of business, that probably gives you a couple extra days to figure everything out.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Oil Kings way more exciting. Kings of Leon, that's the worst concert I've ever seen in my entire life. They were brutal. So
really? So the tickets I won are probably not going to be that good then.
Well, you know what? Now, supposedly one of their singers was sick that night.
Okay.
And the reason why I say it was a bad show was I could have sat at home with my CD and it would have sounded the same. Because all they did, like, to me, when you're going to be in concert, you got to be a performer.
Yeah.
I had seen Rod Stewart, who was older than dirt, and this guy was crushing soccer balls into the second deck and swooning, and all the Cougars and Mills were just, you know, had panty sprinklers on high when he was on stage. Kings of Leon were on stage and it was boring. They stood in one place and just sang. Can they sing? Great. But I'm like, I could listen to the CD at home. So hopefully maybe they're not sick, or maybe they've learned how to be better performers. That's easily the worst concert I've ever seen in my life.
Wow, you're fired up. Well, hopefully it's better than on come next Tuesday.
Yeah, well, exactly. It'll be much better. But you'll be going. So that's on Wednesday, did you say?
Oh, yeah, sorry, Wednesday. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know they're in town. Well,
there you go. Yeah.
Well, the good news is if you go front row, there's no mosh pit or anything probably, Corey, so you'll like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm a little too old for that stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe bring a pillow just in case if it's like last time.
So, absolutely.
All right, man. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Enjoy a few days off.
All right, Jason. Appreciate it. Thanks very much.